Welcome back to The Brandon White Show, where we have conversations worth listening to give you an edge to win in your business and your life. I'm your host, Brandon White. Here we go. I've been following you since
the beginning.
Yeah, when you were doing...
You were on my very first post, actually. I think you responded to my very first introduction post.
Well, you popped up and I was like, Smashburger. And for our listeners, it's spelled S-H-M-A-S-H-Z. Isn't that right, Gil?
S-H-D.
D.
D.
Smash. Just smell that. Spell that again.
S-H-M-A-S-H-D.
D. I forgot about that. Yeah. On Instagram. But somehow you popped up on Instagram and I told Yvette, I was like, there's this burger looks ridiculously good. And then we actually were coming over to your house.
Exactly. I was going to mention that. You were off slinging burgers out the backyard.
Yeah. So how did you start doing that? Like you were in construction. You're originally from Arizona, right?
Yep. Originally from Arizona, Chandler, Arizona. I moved back and forth a lot, but the last time I moved out here was 2008. And then I've been here ever since.
What were you doing? Like coming out here and then having false starts?
With the fam.
Oh, you just visiting?
Before that?
Yeah, like before you moved here.
Well, before that, my dad's side of the family, well, my mom's side really too. We're from Arizona. My mom's from New Mexico. My dad's from Arizona, but we lived in Arizona. My mom met this guy in Arizona from San Francisco when we were kids. So she ended up just moving with him, with all the kids, to San Francisco. But I was the only one that stayed back. I was the only one that stayed with my dad. And then I would visit some time.
So you're one of 11 kids.
Yeah. And I also have a few more siblings in Arizona too.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the total?
Like 14.
That's more like a tribe.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, got step siblings and half siblings, but we don't even count that. We're just
the 11
just siblings.
Yeah. All siblings. Yeah. You don't designate between.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So then you move here finally in 2008. What made you do that?
With my mom. This is California, you know? I was like, I'll go to California.
And were you living in San Mateo?
South San Francisco, actually.
Okay, so you were in
South cities,
and you were doing construction when I first met you.
I wasn't in it for too long before Smash. I did that for like a year right before, but I was actually at Whole Foods for like 5 years.
Oh, really?
Seafood there, and then a beer buyer position opened up, and I'm a beer guy, so I was like, yeah, I'll take that.
And you were working just at the local Whole Foods or in the Bay Area?
In the Bay Area, San Mateo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What type of beer do they have? Beer that costs like $29,000 a can?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, honestly, there wasn't great beer before I got there, but then I started bringing in the craft beer, you know? I was a craft beer guy.
Do people from Whole Foods buy beer?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh.
Yeah.
What does it have to, did you have to like source natural?
No.
Natural hops and things, you know, or?
It's like a core. So when you're there as a buyer or whatever, there's a core of items that you need to have. And then there's leniency. If you have space, you can have fun with it, bringing your own stuff, you know.
As a buyer?
As a buyer, yeah. So I was bringing in my own type of stuff, craft beer wise and things. And it made a difference. It made a huge dent in like sales and stuff. So
for the local stores here in the Bay Area?
Well, for a San Mateo store.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then seafood actually made a pretty good dent over there. Like we had a smoke, program. So we would smoke salmon and flaying sea bass and
internal.
In store. And, one of the items I came up with and it ended up being the highest seller in the department.
What was that?
Smoked salmon belly.
Really?
Cajun andouille.
Wow. Did you come up with the recipe?
I did.
So you were more than just a buyer over there. You're like a do everything. What was your official title?
I was just a team member, really, before I came a buyer. But, that was just because I never really wanted to be like a supervisor for a manager or anything. I was just kind of like, I don't know, I kind of like the freedom as a team member. I didn't want to be in charge of people really, which is kind of weird because like now I own a business.
Yeah, of course.
But it was on someone else's agenda. So I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't really care what that guy's doing. Why do I have to tell him something?
So you became a buyer. Isn't that a very coveted position? Especially a beer buyer in Whole Foods in the middle of the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, there's a lot of responsibility on that.
Did you feel pressure?
A little bit, yeah, because it was also a supervisor role, which I wasn't huge on, but I wanted to be a beer buyer and I wanted to get into the industry somehow. So I met a lot of vendors, met a lot of reps and stuff. And some of them I actually deal with now with Smash. Like I'll go to a brewery. I'm like, oh, what's that?
Oh, is that how you know all the breweries?
Some of them, yeah. So I know some of the guys from that.
So how did people get in touch with you to buy? I mean, was a new category? Were people sending you free beer? Or, I mean, once they know, like, how do you get in touch with a buyer from Whole Foods?
So pretty much we have, there's a system tells you where we could order from. And I would just search up breweries that I like. Or, you know, some reps would come in like, oh, here, I got some samples. Try this out. There's some breweries that I already knew about that I already wanted to bring in. And, yeah, they'll just throw you sample grill. You like, here's a case of wine.
So there's already people on a Whole Foods list. Do vendors apply for that?
Yeah, yeah.
What happens if there's like a local place I've seen that just makes things? Can you still get in? I heard that Whole Foods has the ability to have flexibility with that.
Yeah. You know, the regional team was actually pretty cool. Like, I would get some reps coming in that weren't in the Whole Foods yet. And they're like, you know, this is what we do. We source locally. You know, we're all organic, yada, yada, yada. And if I was interested, I would contact my regional team. And I'm like, hey, I really like this product. Is there any way we'd get it in? Most of the time, they're really cool. They're like, yeah, let's do it. And then we'll get it on the shelf.
So do you, I just have to move your phone away from the mic cord. Whatchamacallit, do they vet the vendor and say, hey, can you do 1,000 units a month? Or, I mean, you go from a little hodgepodge sort of mom and pop thing to a major retailer, you have to be able to do the supply, right?
Mm-hmm. I never really saw that side of it.
No?
No, I was kind of like the middleman. If they ever need to talk about that, we'd get down real time.
Ah.
Yeah.
So you get in there. You do the seafood, then you become the beer buyer. And then what happened?
I was the beer buyer and then, was beer, wine and spirits.
The whole liquor section.
Yeah. The whole liquor section. I think that's like a year and a half maybe. COVID hit.
Oh, yeah. That was 2020.
Yeah. And then, you know, nothing really happened like on my hour wise or anything. We're still working and stuff. But I don't know. It was the way like, the whole thing was handled during COVID. There was like a lot of uncertainty and stuff. And I don't know. As a team member, we didn't feel like comfortable like the way it was being handled. So around that time, I was kind of like, why am I still here? Like, why am I still doing this? They're not going to like really care about it.
Were you worried about going into the store uncertainty or just the job or what was it?
It was more of like health uncertainty, like stuff like that. Like still like really close with people and stuff, like customer wise and things. Like there wasn't really much being done about that. They were caring more about like sales and like this type of stuff. Anyway, that's like how team members felt.
Got you. So you got disenfranchised with the whole process.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that.
And then you quit?
I didn't quit on the spot. I was never really that type of person. So I wanted to find something first. And I was always in the beer. But, you know, I'll just explain this. Fieldwork was right down the way. I was a regular there. Going there since they opened in San Mateo.
What was it?
Fieldwork Brewing.
Oh, Fieldwork Brewing. Okay, yeah.
So, and I knew some of the people that were working there. So I reached out to them, ended up getting an interview, and then I got hired there.
And what are you doing there?
Just kind of do everything.
Were they still functioning during the?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all to go this stuff. So that time was actually pretty cool. Like around that time, cause it was just like two or three of us that was working and we were getting, you know, just doing to go four packs, problems, that type of thing.
On the to go. So you do that in, that feels like it's 2020, early 2021.
Yeah, I would say. And then, after that, that's when, so we started a family, me and my now wife. So we had kids. And when I was at field work, it was a fun job, getting intense at times. Just wasn't family hourly wise, you know? The earliest I would work is probably like 11, get off at 7.
Oh, into the evening.
Yeah, exactly. Or if I went in late, it'd be like 2 to 11.
Mm.
There was nothing that was, you know, getting off early or anything. So I would miss a bunch of family time. The money was pretty good at the time, but family time was more important. So I was like, okay, well, this isn't going to work. And then the construction job, actually, my mother-in-law has worked there for 30 years.
Cool.
She's been an HR person there for 30 years plus. And she's like, oh, we got an opening for a driver. And in the past, it's funny, I was like, I don't think I'll ever have a driving job. And then this position opens up. Pretty good rate, really great benefits.
This is a construction company?
Yeah, based down in South City, actually. And then, so I would drive material and equipment to job sites, mainly in San Francisco. But then, you know, sometimes I'll have to drive like a couple hours away.
Big truck?
Big trucks, small trucks. We had multiple trucks, trailers, flatbeds.
Did you have to get certified or anything for that?
Not really, because
not really. It's sort of linear, isn't it?
Yeah, I learned how to drive a forklift on the spot. I learned how to.
You'd never driven one?
I had like playing around when I was younger because my dad was like in construction, but never actually, you know, used it. So I learned that on the spot. I learned how to reverse trailers on the spot because, you know, that was tricky.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's reverse.
Yeah, now it's nothing, but at the time, it's tricky. It's something new.
I think my neighbor spent 40 minutes trying to get his trailer and until I gave him some coaching that you put your hand on the bottom of the wheel.
Yeah.
Right? But hand, is that how you learned? Hand on the bottom of the wheel, the direction you go is the direction the trailer goes.
Opposite. Yep, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, learned the lingo on the spot. The one thing that helped me a lot.
What's the lingo?
Just like, I don't know, just the terms of everything, just the name of stuff.
All the materials.
All the materials. There's so much material. It's crazy. So many, like, I can, I don't know, epoxies and stuff like that.
So when you did the forklift, you had to tow that forklift to get the materials off the truck or at the job site, someone would pull those materials off?
At the office, we had our forklifts. We had a warehouse.
Okay.
And then we had a bunch of equipment.
But you didn't have to operate it to unload it.
There was, no, just at the warehouse.
Got you.
Yeah. So maybe if I was doing that, I would have to get certified, you know, but
I'm just curious. Yeah. I was never certified, but I knew how to do that stuff.
Yep. Just at the warehouse. My first actual trailer was my first day on the job. I had to drive this big trailer full of, trash and stuff from a remodel we're doing. And, the truck was full of trash, and equipment. I'm driving through the city. Luckily I have this 17-year-old dude. Oh, wait, sorry, not 17, 19-year-old, worker that was there for like a year or something. And, I was like, aw, he's coming with me. Like, I don't know how to do this. So I was driving through the city and stuff. I had to reverse, trailer a couple times. Yeah. And then, he helped me out. He's the one that like showed me how to do it. But, yeah, that was crazy. The first day was crazy. But after that, I think that was the worst, thing with the trailer.
On that first day?
Yeah. But after that was.
Yeah. Driving through this San Francisco can be super tight. And some of those lanes are very narrow.
Oh, yeah. And then going up, the hills,
Then you have to stop and start.
Yeah.
Hopefully that was automatic.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all automatic.
Well, I used to drive a stick shift dump truck towing a backhoe, and it was and it was not automatic, and it was a total drag.
Can't imagine.
It was crazy. So you're driving, you're going from basically Whole Foods. Well, you're coming from Arizona. Yeah. Didn't we talk about that? Aren't you a Cardinals fan or something?
I am a Cardinals fan. I just keep it on low.
Well, it's not low now, but we'll let you off the hook considering you are from there. And in the same division, right? Aren't we in the same division? I like the Cardinals though, because the one thing on Nintendo back when I used to go to college is they always are a passing team.
Yeah.
And they always go, who was the quarterback? I forget who the quarterback was, but Arizona always passed. I love the Arizona offense.
Yeah.
So then you're in construction. So how do you get, it sounds like you had some cooking in your blood from doing the seafood at Whole Foods.
Well, I'll go as a foodie. Like, I always love eating. I was a bigger kid. I always tell the story of, it's funny because when I was younger, my stepdad, he'd always ask me, all right, what do you want to eat? And in Spanish, I'd just be like, carne, like meat.
Meat.
Yeah, I just want meat. And then even like before that, I remember finding a steak in our fridge in Arizona when I was staying with my dad and my grandma. And then, I went into like my grandma's room, found a box of these wooden picture frames. I don't recommend doing this, but I was a kid. Found this box of wooden picture frames. I broke them all apart. I went out back. I started a little fire. And then
grill?
Yeah. And I grabbed this steak and I start grilling it. And then I was always, always like, oh, this is how I want it. I'm going to do extra just so it's the best. That was good. So
that was your foray into cooking?
Yeah.
How'd that go over when your dad or grandma got home? Did they miss those frames?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know. I don't even remember. I just remember that moment. That's the only moment that matters.
Well, how'd you come up with the recipe for the salmon?
So they taught us how to, brine.
Oh, when you were working there.
Yeah, yeah. So the brine and the ratio of the sugar and the salt. And then we actually had a Cajun belly. But there was we had a seasoning called Cajun Andouille, and I tried it, and it's like Andouille sausage. And then
I actually don't know what Andouille is.
No,
what is that?
I'm pretty sure it's a sausage more like down south.
Spicy?
Spice, yeah. It's not super spicy, but yeah, there's some spices in there. And then I used that, and then added a couple other things.
Just experimenting,
yeah.
You know what the cool thing is there, it sounds like, is you could experiment and actually see if people bought it. Mm-hmm. And then would people come back into the store and give you feedback?
Oh, yeah. Because I also came up with so what we did with the bellies, we'll cut the bellies off. You would cut them off. You wouldn't take the skin off or nothing, whatever, smoke it. But then I started, skinning the belly, cutting up it into cubes, then brining it. And then, seasoning and smoking it. And then I would call them belly bites. And then those things were huge. And I also did like salmon jerky.
Oh.
Where you take, I won't give all my secrets. Because I do want to smoke.
You still want to smoke some?
I still want to smoke some fish on the side business. I've been thinking about it lately. But, I got a lot going on now. Eventually.
So then you break up some frames. You start a fire when you're a kid. You smoke a steak. Then you work in Whole Foods and they teach you some things, but you start experimenting.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're in construction. I imagine you're eating at some local joints. What made you start cooking for yourself?
So around the time of the whole, actually it wasn't even Smash. Smash came after the fact. I had a whole different idea. It was a little different.
What was it?
The first thing I wanted to start when I knew. So I knew I wanted to do something with food because I was cooking at home. I was on leave. So when I was on leave for having the kids, maternity leave, I would do even more cooking. I would write down recipes. I even got into like, dough work, like pizza doughs or, buns and
that
rolls.
Pizza place you turned me on to. That guy's got some good pizza. What's that thing called?
What is it?
Pizza Forever or something?
Yeah, Pizza Forever.
That guy's got that sourdough bread. But
I like sourdough.
Crust. It melts in your mouth. I knew it was good because when Yvette Gill she only normally leave crust from pizza and then I'll eat it because I'm still hungry.
I'm the same.
She left no crust.
Yeah.
Two weeks ago.
And people are always like, crust is the best part. And
don't like the crust?
I'm like you just said, like I'll eat all the best parts first. And if I'm still hungry, I'll nibble at
crust. There was no crust left over from there. But nice. So you were doing dough things like pizza or other things?
I was doing pizzas. I was doing like New York style pizzas.
Yes.
But I was also doing like deep dish cornbread doughs.
Oh.
But then I made these, I remember it was a Christmas or New Year's Eve. It was a dinner. I think it was Christmas to dip prime rib. And I made these Hawaiian style rolls and they were amazing. I was like, why do I do that? I started, you know, doing it and I had this crazy idea of where I was going to do so in the burger world, potato buns are huge.
Yeah, they're tasty.
Yeah. Most burger joints, they use potato rolls, like, Martin's potato rolls are the most popular.
Why is that, Gil?
They're just spongy. You know, they're soft and spongy and I don't know, they just hold up really well.
You mean holding the burger together?
Yeah. And then, but even like the texture of it, it's really, I would just say spongy or airy.
Yeah.
Like Shake Shack uses that. Most pop-up joints use Martin potato rolls. The only issue I see with that is that the buns are usually smaller.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, we like a good portion. So, you know, we went with something else. But anyway, getting to potato buns. I thought of this idea where I'm like, oh, why don't I use purple sweet potato for the potato roll? Oh. And I started making a potato roll, purple potato rolls, and I was going to call it the purple bun. We're going to do the purple bun before Smash was even like an idea. Purple bun was going to be the idea.
And you're going to be a bakery, basically.
We're going to do our own buns. Just burger buns and make burgers with those buns.
Okay.
So it was very different, obviously, to the eye. And then,
what happened?
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work to do the dough.
Oh, yeah. Cause, you know, we do bacon jam too. And then at that time, we're grinding our own meat. We're buying, short rib in bulk, trimming it down. You know, grinding it.
I remember asking you like 50 questions, which we'll get to when I was at your house. I'm like, what is this all about? I was like, why can't you get more? Why do you keep selling out?
Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
like the supplier.
Yeah.
And I said to you, said, I forget. So you're going to do purple buns.
Yeah.
Did they taste good?
Oh, they're great. Yeah. They're kind of
that's
like.
That's actually pretty smart because then you actually have branding.
Yeah, exactly.
But what's a lot of work? I don't understand. Like more work. I mean, we're going to talk about the pop-up, but. More work than like grabbing all that stuff, putting your truck in your trailer and set.
Yeah? It's more work behind the scenes because, you know, you got to wait for dough to rise.
How long does that take?
I forget. This was a couple years ago.
Too long, obviously.
Yeah. There's been so many things after that.
What do you mean? That was only the first?
But the dough. So the buns would take the longest. I have a small oven. I don't have an industrial oven.
Right.
So you can only fit so much. Bacon jam, at the time, I didn't have it locked down like I do now. So it took a while.
What do you mean? So you were going to do bacon jam on the bun? Or was
the on the burger. Not, that's what we do now.
No, I know you do, but I wasn't following when the bacon jam idea came up.
Oh, bacon jam idea was from the beginning. We're going to do that regardless. So
that was going to be like the secret sauce.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That differentiated everything.
That's what sets us apart from everybody else. And
is the bacon jam?
Yeah, and that's a conversation starter right there. People are like, oh, what's bacon jam?
What is that real? Or did you make that up?
No, it's a real thing.
I didn't understand it either. I asked Yvette, I was like, what is bacon jam? Bacon. She's like, it's jam with bacon. And I was like, okay, then tell me to put it on there.
Well, most people, when they think of jam, you know, they think of fruit, mm-hmm. jelly. But jam to me is more like a consistency, like a texture. So it could really be anything as long as it's jammy, you know? But sticky. Anyway, yeah. When I was making burgers for myself or for the fam or whatever, I always had a onion, bacon mixture. I would do like a little bit of honey for a little sweetness. But then, after a while, it just kind of, evolved to a bacon jam. And then I started looking up bacon jam. I'm like, oh, it's a thing. And then, yeah.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
I've never seen it in the store.
Yeah, me neither. Sweet, salty, you know.
Yeah, crispy. It's tasty.
You know? And then people have never tried it. So when they have our burgers, they're like, wow, that's great.
It makes that taste. So do you use regular pork bacon?
Yeah.
How long does it take you to make the jam?
Now, not too long.
You make it every week, before every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Day before, usually.
That really?
Yeah. Day before. It's better that way. Same thing with like sauce. Those types of things you want, you know, the ingredients meld together. Mm-hmm. When like, if it sits for like 24 hours or something, it's going to meld together better. So sometimes when we are in rush mode, we have to do it right before, you know, but ideally we like to do it the night before.
So first it's purple potato buns. That proves to be too much. The bacon jam is an idea. Mm-hmm. What was next in your line of ideas that you were playing around with?
So at that point, I wanted to start early 2021, like around January, February, but I was on leave around that time. So I didn't want to leave my now wife to, you know, take care of the kids by herself. So I waited. I kind of accumulated my.
But you started in August 2020.
Yeah. No, 2021.
You started in 2021?
Yep, 2021.
Oh, were you still experimenting prior to that? After, like, did you have another idea after the purple bun?
Well, it's kind of like a little bit. But so pretty much during that time, I wanted to start in early 2021, but I was on leave so I could help, you know, with kids. So it ended up being later on. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do it. But I started pushing the idea of, you know, just not using purple buns. And then I started thinking of names, and that's hard.
That's super hard. I've been struggling with that with a software company for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Finally found one yesterday.
Yeah. But I think Smash was already in my head. But like I kept exploring other things.
But isn't Smash a Smash? So this is the truth. Up until I saw you,
mm-hmm.
and it's funny that you said like I was your first guy to respond, because I actually thought you were huge.
My first post, I remember seeing you in the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this thing, I mean, I ride bikes, you know that.
Yeah.
So after I ride bikes, I'm always starving.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can go get a burger, mm-hmm. and I told Yvette, my wife, you know, and I said, this dude has got like some serious burger. This thing looks ridiculously good. And we were rating my friend Sean and I, Sean Lamb, who comes.
Yeah.
He's been on the show, but he comes to you all the time.
Sean Lamb has been on the show. He did was it the first burger challenge? He did one of our burger challenges.
Yeah, he is. So he and I come up with top 10 burgers in the United States.
Yeah.
And I was writing it for my newsletter. So I was like, hey, this guy, there's some dude in San Mateo. I don't mm-hmm. know this guy, but I think it could be a top 10 burger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent Sean over there after Yvette and I had come, which we're going to come back to, like twice. And he came back, and next weekend we ride on Sundays usually together. He's like, that's a top 3 burger. And I was like, boom. And then I said, hey, you need to get over to Half Moon Bay, but we're jumping ahead.
Yeah.
So you want to start in early 2021, but mm-hmm. you got kids.
Mm-hmm.
And were you like figuring out how you were going to cook at scale? Oh, we were talking about Smash. So Smash Burger, a Smash Burger.
Yeah.
Is sort of a thing, isn't it?
It's a style, yeah. Smash Burger is a style, but the, you know, have you heard of Smash Burger, the chain?
This episode is sponsored by the Halle Financial Team at Expert Lending. Buying a house in today's market is competitive, and you need a lender that can close fast and get you the very best rate. The team is licensed in 48 states and has over 20 years' experience in the real estate and lending space, and access to lending rates that most mortgage brokers can't get. I know, because I'm an investor in the team. If you need a mortgage or know someone that does, call or text Kara at 571-271-9086 and talk to a real human who will give you the customer service you deserve. Again, call or text Kara at 571-271-9086. Now back to the show.
Well, someone told me that because I was like, hey, Gil runs Smash Burger. He's like, oh, well, that's a chain. I was like, I don't know. He's not a chain, well, but you need to eat his burger.
They're smart for taking that as their name. It's a style, but they're just, you know, that's a smart business move. Smash Burger. Yeah. You hear Smash Burger. It's the first thing you think of. So that was smart on their part. But, yeah, it's definitely a style. I fell in love with the style because,
how?
Honestly, during leave too, I was watching a lot of burger stuff. So like Burger Show, there's a, if you go on YouTube, there's a, this guy, his name is Alvin, and he, hosts the Burger Show, and they go around the U.S. talking about,
just burger joints.
Yeah. Historic generational burgers, where the burger started, just burger things. And I loved it because I always love burgers. I'm a burger guy. And, yeah. So I was just tough on that. And then I fell in love with the Smash Burger style. I've known about it for a while, but there's this thing called the Maillard reaction with Smash Burgers. And that is a scientific term for the browning of the beef. So the idea is that you smash, the more browning, the more crust, the more flavor. And, yeah. And then you get the crispy edges, you get the browning, the Maillard reaction.
So is that a
the flavor, the smokiness from the griddle?
Is that a temperature thing or a thinness?
It's just a, it's a reaction thing. It's literally once it sticks. I mean, once you sear something, that's a Maillard reaction also.
Right.
The best thing to do with the Smash Burger is having it actually stick to it.
Really?
Yeah. You want it to stick. That's the thing. You don't want it to be nonstick as most people would think you want everything to be, you know?
Right.
So yeah, you need a scraper or a really good spatula. But yeah.
So you just start making the burgers at home for your family?
Oh yeah. They loved it. I would write them all over all the whole, all the time. I would literally take their order, like, okay, what do you want? Blah, blah, blah. Then I'll make burgers.
How'd you come up with the consistency of the meat? Cause that's very original for you. Right?
Yeah, for sure. So with Smash Burgers, most people use 80-20 beef.
80 beef, 80. 20 fat.
Yep, correct. We go as far as 73-27 because since it's bean smashed, we want to, you know, want to keep the juices. Still want it to be juicy, beefy. They are thinner, but I'm sure if you've had our burgers, you would still think that they're beefy and juicy.
They are.
Because we use that fat percent.
But don't you mix something in them?
No, we used to do short rib, but we found something that's around the same quality for a better price. So, yeah.
So when do you pull the trigger?
As in,
well, like when did you start? You're like, hey, I mean, how did you? How are you going to get people?
Oh, in August. Okay, so pretty much, I was working at the construction job, and I would be driving, and you know, most of the time I'm driving, and I'm like, damn, just wasting my time here. I have this idea of like, you know, starting this burger joint or whatever, a pop-up, see how it goes. And I just feel like I'm wasting my time here, just driving long hours. What am I doing here? Like,
you know? What did make you think about pop-up? What made you go to pop-up versus a lot of people will say, they say to me, oh, I need a restaurant location. Wow. You said pop up.
This cost, you could start anything, you know, like, why would I barely have anything in, you know, at that time, I'm like, have anything. And then why would I go to a restaurant? But, so while I was on leave, I was, accumulating equipment. So, you know, one time I bought my grill and another time I bought my tent. And then
Were you buying this? New?
Where did I buy my Blackstone? It was like new and used. I think I bought a Blackstone off Amazon.
What's a Blackstone?
Blackstone, it's just a griddle.
A flat top griddle.
Yeah, that's what I started with. But I learned that it wasn't the greatest mobily, you know? Heavy. The frame is very wonky. It's great for the house. Like, I use that at home all the time. But, like, moving it all the time, it took a toll on the frame, you know? So it was kind of wobbly. Then I finally got my other grill. But anyway, I was accumulating stuff. I went on Craigslist to get this deli fridge, like $500, which is a great deal for a deli fridge. And the guy threw in two like restaurant tables in there. Yeah, he just threw it in. I was like, all right, cool.
What is a deli fridge, high quality temperature wise?
Yeah, it's a fridge. It has you lift up the door.
Oh, okay.
And then all your ingredients are right there. Yeah. But at that time, I was using my work truck with the lift. So it was pretty easy. But then after I wasn't, it was a pain, obviously. So we changed things.
Did you make a list of the things you needed?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely made a list. Made a list of everything I needed. And then I wrote a price next to it. And then what I wrote down was an overshot. So once I finally had gotten everything, it really wasn't too bad.
You mean it was less than what you had anticipated?
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, when you're thinking about these things, you think of stuff that you actually don't need and that you're just kind of fantasizing about.
Like, what did you think you needed?
I don't know. I don't really remember, but I remember making a list and then I just needed, like, maybe half the list.
So you accumulate all these things.
Yep.
When do you know it's time to start cooking?
Just because I was feeling like I was wasting time at work. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do it. But it was weird because at that time, I was living in San Bruno in this big complex in an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment. And then, you know, there's a bunch of stairs, a bunch of doors you have to go through. So I kept my fridge at my sister's house. I didn't even have a truck or vehicle to haul anything. So, and then, I would just ask work to use their truck because I was a driver. So I was insured under their trucks already. So it wasn't a huge deal at the time. They got tired of it, of course, but it was crazy. Like the first few pop-ups were crazy behind the scenes because I had the prep in this apartment. I lugged everything down. Big old complex where stairs and elevators, narrow hallways. I had to stop by my work to pick up the truck. I had to stop by my sister's house. I'm like on the phone with my cousin that was helping me at the time. I'm like, oh, we need this and there. We need to get there. And not knowing of anything. So everything was just learned on the spot, you know, because we've never done anything like this before. The first pop-up was a hit. It was really cool seeing like who came out, how many people came out. And
how'd they come out?
Instagram, social media.
Is that the first thing you decided to do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Instagram's our main social media platform.
You pay for no advertising?
We do once a month once we post our monthly schedule, but that's it.
You boost
it. You choose it, though. Yeah.
You boost that.
Yeah, we just boost it.
But that's it. Mm-hmm. Everything else has been organic.
Yeah. Yeah, so pop-up, definitely cost-wise, because depending who you're working with. So my brother owns a barbershop in San Mateo.
Oh, is that why you go to the, I was like, why is he always go? Exactly. That's like, why is he always going to the barbershop?
That's where I started because I had nowhere to pop up at. My brother had, you know, the barbershop. So he was cool enough to be like, yeah, for sure. Pop up at the barbershop in the back and put out the word and people showed up.
through Instagram and then the barbershop too.
Yep. Through Instagram, barbershop, word of mouth. Yeah.
So you must have been doing a few pop-ups before you moved to your house in San Mateo. Cause that did I come to a pop-up first? I can't remember.
Probably Hot Dog Moon.
No. Not for when I came and met you. I was coming to San Mateo.
You came to the barbershop.
Oh, I did come. That's right. I think I did. And that's when, and then you switched to your house eventually.
Yeah, I switched to the house. Well, I did. Yeah, I did a few at the barbershop first.
Yes.
I think, Pedro Pulling Brewing was the first to have me as a pop-up, shout out. And then Hot Dogma was the second. So appreciate y'all.
Points in Pacifica, California, and
Hop Dogs, Half Moon Bay. So those two, I think I popped up at first, and then I didn't really have much other spots going at that time. So then I think I was filling in the calendar in my backyard.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, we got to go over that for listeners.
Yeah,
we live in Half Moon Bay. There's the Santa Cruz Mountains. Mm-hmm. It's not that far. But everybody over here thinks that driving 7 miles to San Mateo is far.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh my God, we got to go over the hill. And I was like, look, this guy's got this burgers. We've got to get these burgers. Because I think the first time I had come to the shop, Yvette was at a dog show because she goes to dog shows on weekends. And then we came down and we used to come to your house several times and we would sit out front and eat.
In the car?
Yeah. Nice. In your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which was packed. People were lined up coming into your house.
Yeah, that was a cool time. Like prep-wise, too, obviously. Hey, clean up. I'm already home, you know?
Right there on the side porch and the side gate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. I appreciate everybody that came through and trusting that we had a good product to just pull up to the backyard.
You did have people were like, I don't know that they all knew you because some of them were like, looked like they were a little confused, but I was like, it's back there.
Yeah. People were like, oh, send me to a residential. I'm like, yep, that's us.
That's Smashburger, man.
You know? Just follow the music.
So you start doing that. And I remember I kept asking you, I was like, what do you do for your day job?
Yeah.
And you're like, I do construction.
Yep.
And then I remember I come back and be like, how long are you going to do that? And I don't think you really knew.
Yeah. Honestly, so I started doing the pop-ups like I slowly got into it. I did it once a month, became once a weekend. And once I felt like, I would keep asking my wife, like once she felt comfortable enough for me to go full time, that's when I really went full time. Cause I was ready after a few, you know, once I was doing like once a week, I thought that, you know, it felt right. It felt like we were going in the right direction. Like people were actually enjoying the product. And, so once she felt comfortable
as in, there's money to be made.
Yeah. As in money to be made, I'm going to have a job through the winter or whatever, you know, like, just stability.
Yeah. Right.
Cause I was complaining. I was like, I feel like I'm wasting my time. Like I said earlier, like I should just be doing what I want to do already and do this. And then just do it. And then last year, July, filled out my first month of Smash pop-ups. And then
when do you remember the day that you were like, I'm just dropping the mic, I'm out of here, I'm done driving? Was it like that, or was it you told them ahead of time?
Oh yeah, I definitely told them, especially because I was working with my mother-in-law. Didn't want to do that to her, you know. But yeah, I definitely told them, like, all right, this is what I'm gonna do. I'll put my 2 weeks in or whatever. No, you don't really have to put it in 2 weeks in, but
you did.
Yeah, but I did. And, ever since July 2022, we've been full time with it.
So you do the pop up and you set up a tent. You bring all of your stuff. You do it alongside beer houses a lot, but barbershops. I've seen you go into San Francisco, I think at some, breweries.
Mm-hmm.
And is that and you do that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Breweries are our main target. It kind of keeps me in the industry still because I was kind of in the industry being a beer buyer and stuff. Always been a craft beer guy. And, so Yeah, that's our main target. We operate, it was Thursday through Sunday, but recently within the last couple months, it's been Wednesday through Sunday.
Oh, you're doing Wednesdays now.
Yeah, so guys over at Alpha Acid are really cool.
Name. Where's that?
Belmont, California. They're nice enough to have us on Wednesdays. And
what's it called?
Alpha Acid Brewing.
That's the it's in the around the back there. You drive.
Yeah.
Industrial.
That's
I've been there before.
That's the one we did the collab with, and we had our 2 year anniversary at.
Oh, right on.
Yep. We brewed a beer with them.
Oh, you brewed a beer.
Yeah. Let's get smashed. You can find it over there. Alpha Acid Brewing, Belmont.
So every Wednesday you're there now?
I wouldn't say every Wednesday, but normally you can find us there on a Wednesday or Thursday, depending, of course, the way we built our schedule out.
Are you doing catering?
We do cater.
It's not our main target. It is your main target.
It's not our main target. Oh. So pop-ups is our main target, but we do catering.
You don't sound excited about catering. Why?
I don't know. I do like catering. It's cool to get in and out, you know, and, being a part of like which events they are, it's really cool. Like we've done weddings, we've done, surprise birthday parties, 30s, you know, like it's fun. It feels more intimate, more personal. And it's cool that, you know, they choose us. So it is fun, but, pop-ups are just our main target. Being in the public eye, you know, you're going to get more eyes that way.
And you're making more money than you used to?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like compared to my.
Yeah. Like what you were doing before.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you've gone from literally in your apartment to your backyard to doing pop-ups. Do you think there's something next?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm looking around retail spots right now. You know, everything's so expensive. So hopefully on the peninsula, thinking about how we'll be doing funding and stuff like that for a spot. But,
is that just because you want to have that steady spot?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you could still do pop-ups, I guess.
Yeah. I'd like to do both. I'd like to have a team run pop-ups, you know, in other areas like farther, like Apple Bay, San Jose, San Francisco. Well, we'll have our main location on the peninsula. That's my idea anyway.
Well, I asked you about food trucks and you always are very negative on them for when I ask you, why don't you like the food truck?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I just don't want to haul around. I know I do now set up and stuff, but I feel like it's more of a commitment than to, have a spot. Cause my main goal is having a brick and mortar. So I don't want to go to a food truck and then go to a brick and mortar and then.
From the expense. Cause the food trucks are expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's kind of like paying off a car. I guess so.
I know, but it's an expensive car. I checked out that food truck that's down where you do a pop-up. Not in competition with you. They do Peruvian food.
Oh, yeah.
Food.
They do really good stuff.
And they had really good food.
Yeah.
That we get when you're not there. And I looked at that truck, and that thing looks, I mean, it looks serious.
Yeah.
It looks expensive to me.
Yeah. I hear about things like, I don't know, like generators always going down and stuff, but that could just be, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure things break all the time. Don't things break on you on the site?
Yeah, for sure. Like if you went to my second pop-up ever, that day was crazy, but it was a very important
pop-up. What was important about it?
It was a lot of learning that day, but we also, we actually ended up in Half Moon Bay that day. Sandy came out with Carlo from Pop Dogma and, there's a lot of cool people that came that day and it was super windy. It's our second pop-up ever. We don't have any walls up or anything. And the wind is just blowing the flame like crazy. So these burgers were practically being steamed, you know, for like the second half or whatever. But we met a lot of cool people that day. And
I think I was there that day.
You probably.
The line was long.
There was a lot of people and there was a lot of Half Moon Bay people too. It's weird because I never really went to Half Moon Bay, but after that day, I'm always in Half Moon Bay now. I love Half Moon Bay. I'm like, why didn't I come here before?
I kept telling you, I was like, you need to come over and do a pop-up over here on the weekend, mainly because I didn't want to drive over the hill. But I knew that there's a lot of people here on the weekends.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, locals for sure, but also a lot of people come over to the coast, especially in the fall. I think, when did you, what else did you learn that day? Besides, you need walls.
Yeah. That day I learned that I needed, you know, wind resistant things. Have a spare equipment, as in like, so we were thinking it was like a hose or something on the grill. So my cousin went and ran and got a hose, threw it on. It wasn't that. And then we're like, oh, might as well keep it. No, have a backup
of
this
course.
Type of stuff. Because that, later on, that issue did happen where we had a hose that, you know, after a while wear and tear, a little hole was in the hose. So we, you know, turned everything off, switched out the hose, and we're right back up. So that was a good learning curve. But yeah.
Do you think that, so you
putting sandbags down?
Oh. You learned that pretty quick, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And then how do you get help? You have two guys that help you all the time. Mainly, right?
Yeah. So I have two of my main guys, Sid and Juan. Juan is one of my best friend's, sons. He was my manager at Whole Foods. We became really good friends. His son is in high school. It's like at the time 16. I was like, hey, does Junior want to work? And he's like, well, I'll ask him. And then he asked him, and has been my main guy ever since then.
Wow.
Yeah, and Sid is one of my best friends from when I actually moved here right before high school, like 2008, whatever. He was like the first person I met because we lived in the same neighborhood and we became really good friends. So, I bring him on a year ago, and then he's been rocking with me ever since.
Yeah, he comes out every time. Do you always need... You used to run it with two people. Now you run it with three, I see, mainly.
Well, you know, when I first started, you think you could do everything, right? So I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to have my cousin, Mike. Mike, he was the first one to help me. And I appreciate that for sure because, you know, finding people is hard.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate.
People that show up regularly.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. So I've been fortunate to have my two main guys just being consistent and being there all the time. I think that's one of the biggest traits is, you know, your availability and just to be there. But yeah, now we run three. So, you know, someone taking orders, I'll be on the grill and someone building. If we have an event like Hot Dog and it's 10 year anniversary, we'll pull out two grills. We'll have four. If we have fries, which we really do. But,
which I think you should get.
Yeah, I know.
but I know it's a lot of work.
Yeah. We're looking to do that more often soon. Hopefully we get one more person on that I think.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we'll possibly be able to get one more on. Maybe do like every weekend or something. I'm not going to do fries five times a week though.
You're not?
No. I don't want to stress my team out, you know what I mean?
I don't want to stress my team.
And it extends wait times, you know? You know how the wait time can get.
I do. So. I mean, people wait because you have a good product, right? I mean, when you have a good product, people will wait.
Yeah, for sure.
If your product's so-so, they'll probably bail.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was cool to see that too. I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
Maybe yeah, people.
When I saw that.
Yeah, we were starving, but we were like, hey, Gil needs to cook bigger burgers faster. Did you learn how to cook those things faster?
Yeah. Over time, you know, we got into our groove, got more efficient. Yeah.
Do you think that having a limited supply in the pop-up model drives demand?
As in?
Well, because I see you're like, oh, we're here till 7, or let's just say, and you'll say, or... Here, most pop-ups, and you do it.
Oh, like you're sold like, out.
Yeah, here till 7 are sold out. And then it drives people because they start to, it's like the t-shirt gun. You know, you shoot the t-shirt and everybody fights for the t-shirt gun, but nobody knows what size it is.
Yeah, I think that kind of messed us up at first, you know, because we did, like I said, we learned as we went, so we weren't sure how much to bring this up. But then when people would see sold out all the time, they're like, oh, these guys are something. I didn't even get there before. And then everyone would come out once, and we're like, oh, and now, you know, when everyone comes out once.
Yeah, I do know.
That's,
I get
when,
there.
That's when the wait time happens, like if a line builds or something. And then, but now we've gotten better, and we're like, okay, we're not trying to sell out. We do still sometimes, but we're not trying to sell out. Try to have it.
Try to be there for the duration.
Yeah, for sure.
But that sellout model does work.
It does.
It does work.
I mean, it's not that we did that on purpose, trust me, but it does. It definitely did.
Yeah. I mean, if you get disappointed, you're probably going to go back and do that again.
Yeah.
So is there a pop-up culture? Do you all hang out together or something? Like, it seems like you all support one another. You have different types of foods.
Yeah. I mean, we meet people all the time. You know, we'll cook up next to them, or I even like going out to like breweries and, you know, supporting pop-ups that are out there already. And, you know, we'll work together as in like, oh, you want to come out this date? You want to come out this date? And met a lot of cool people, and even people that just come out like randomly to, you know, have a burger and support us too. But yeah, I mean, we hang out for sure.
Did you do a pop-up at the winery?
Yeah.
You did?
Nebbia?
Yeah, Nebbia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Yeah, it was a cool spot.
Yeah, that was cool. So you're going to possibly open up a restaurant in the peninsula somewhere.
Possibly. Hopefully.
Do you you think there's enough room in the market with other burger joints? I've never seen a smash. I don't know that smash chain.
I think with our style, yeah. Because there's not much smash burgers.
No.
In the Bay anyway. I mean, I do know a few, obviously, but
I don't know. It's not pop-ups or restaurants.
Mostly pop-ups. There's a couple of restaurants.
Yeah, but I don't know any restaurants unless they're in East Bay.
But it's not over. Yeah, they are. It's not oversaturated like in LA. Like if you're in LA or SoCal, they're everywhere.
I know, but the one thing in this area that people don't quite grasp as much we do is if you have all those. I mean, there's a Mexican restaurant and tacos on every corner in LA, but they all make money.
Yeah,
it's because there's so many people. And I think, what are there, 8 million people in the Bay Area or 7 million, something like crazy. So there's a lot of burgers to be served.
Oh, yeah.
Without. And it seems like one thing that's a little different, I don't know if it's the same for you in Arizona, I'm originally from the East Coast, is in the Bay Area, everybody has their little town. Mm-hmm. And each little town, I mean, there's San Mateo, mm-hmm. there's Burlingame. Burlingame is literally, I think, 2.5 miles away.
Yeah.
And people, I'm not saying people don't go to those places, but they seem guilty to live in that area.
Yeah.
For like sure. They have their own grocery store. They have their own everything. So there's so many people here that you could easily support a burger joint. And I think people always go to a burger joint.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that's always going to be there. It's always something fun to try.
Are you thinking of making anything else? Like, you've got the smash burger, you've got the bacon jam with the smash burger. Mm-hmm. You think you'll ever go back to the bun? Like, you found a bun. I don't know what your bun is, but it's good. Yeah.
I always think about it as like a side thing, you know, later in the future. I think it'd be something cool though.
You could also sell smoked salmon jerky.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely plan on doing that sometime in the future. No timeline on that for sure. But, you know, when I get a little more free time, I almost started a tacos, like crispy taco pop-up, but it didn't happen. I never told anybody about this really, except for, you know, my close family little circle.
My crispy tacos, that would be tasty.
Yeah, so I'm not going to name breweries or whatever, but I was at a brewery and then there was an issue with another pop-up and a restaurant from across the street. And the restaurant across the street was complaining that the pop-up was stealing their sales because the same type of food. But also across the street was a burger joint and they didn't have issues with us or we didn't have issues with them or nothing like that. But so the brewery was like, okay, well, we just won't do those two style of foods, like my style and then the other style. So that kind of left me like off. They're like, oh, we can't do it. So I was like, all right, well, how about, cause I love being there cause I knew everybody and it was right down the street. And I was like, all right, well, why don't we do, you know, I'll just do something else. And everyone's always told me, like, I've done these crispy tacos really good.
Crispy tacos would be incredible.
Yeah, for sure. But, then there was another issue with another pop-up there. And then
making the same type of food?
No, they just ended up, I think, getting people sick. And then, so they had to cancel all pop-ups. And then
because of some food quality thing.
Yeah, exactly. So
they got people sick.
So they messed up on the crispy tacos.
I think that's a good idea though.
Yeah.
Cause if you did, I don't know, can you mix those two things in the same brand? I mean, it's the same it's your cooking.
I mean, you can for sure, but I don't know.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah, maybe.
The problem is I'd always order the burger.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, but crispy tacos, I don't know. We get.
That's something like, you ever heard of like ghost kitchens?
Yes.
So it's easy to run multiple businesses out of ghost.
That's basically what I saw happen. I was spending a lot of time in LA.
Yeah.
During the pandemic.
Yep.
And I was seeing that they were basically, that must have been a pandemic thing. Like they realized that they could run and it looked like three storefronts. And I was like, that's the same kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of businesses are doing that right now. I looked into a ghost kitchen and if I went that route, I would have did the same thing with crispy tacos for sure.
Yeah. You could easily do that, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm, for sure.
You could have, what'd you do? Do they split the, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Maybe you would do that like Taco Bell and Crispy Chicken. I mean, not Crispy Chicken. KFC. Kentucky KFC does in some of those places, you know, where you walk in.
Yeah.
And it's two brands, but it's very clearly the same kitchen.
Well, the thing is like, if you do a ghost kitchen, it's all takeout. So it's even easier.
Oh.
So, I don't know. You just have two different setups or maybe two different grills and just a longer deli fridge or something, you know,
that's true. You know, I saw that with, Sushirito.
Yeah.
You know, they started, I discovered them in the city in this little hole in the wall. I don't even think it was as big as this studio.
Yeah. My cousin back in the day, he would always talk about it and we never tried it. I finally tried it like 6 months ago and I liked it, but then the Burlingame location shut down for some reason.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. I seen that they're doing a lot of construction right there, but.
Oh, they have the one in, I don't go to the city at all anymore, but, whatchamacallit, I found the one in the city and then they opened the one in Palo Alto. And then once the pandemic came, we got takeout from there.
Yeah.
But you could run probably a fine takeout. The only thing with your burgers, I will say, it's like, I want to eat that burger because it's hot and tasty.
That's why I couldn't do the ghost kitchen because everything's takeout. And I'm big on presentation wise, you know, I'm pretty picky with that. So if everything was takeout, then I wouldn't say every single thing wouldn't be up to my standards presentation wise, but I'd prefer if everyone had it fresh, hot. You see it with your eyes first, you know, you eat with your eyes first and then. You know what I mean?
It is true. When you get that burger and you see that burger, it is tasty. Like the other day we ate right there at Hot Dogma.
Yep.
In that area. Cause I was like, Yvette said, I was like, no, I don't want to drive him. I want to eat this thing. It's tasty.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess you really do have to sort of have a sit in. Most of the places, I guess in the breweries, they order and then they go have a beer or something. That's a model.
For sure. Yep.
The breweries don't have a lot of food, Gil.
Yeah, I know. That's where That's where we come.
Well, if you were a brewer, I mean, yes, that's perfect. But if you were running a brewery, why wouldn't you have food? Like, aren't people drinking hungry?
I think it started kind of accidental. The breweries started like, we just want to brew beer.
Mm.
And then they had a pop-up and then other breweries are like, you know what? We could run the same model, you know?
I think you're right.
It's definitely not it's a hassle for them if they had food. And the fact that they don't have food and they can have somebody come in and just.
No, I think that's
true. And even you bring each other, you know, customers and stuff like that. That's really the biggest thing.
But you really control your fan base with that following on Instagram, don't you?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we check that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that is the menu, which is pretty new to the restaurant. I mean, you're innovating the restaurant industry, right?
Yeah, it's fun too. It's fun to, like, work wise too. You get to go to different cities, see different people, you know, meet different people instead of being stationary. I know that's the goal, but in that sense, it's fun because the customer too is like, oh wow, I haven't tried this brewery. Now we'll try them because these guys are there, or vice versa, you know?
You're bringing your audience to these places.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, those businesses that get upset if they're like, oh, they're going to take business away. It's like, well, maybe a few people that were walking into your store, but for the most part, you're bringing your own audience with you.
Yeah, and that's been, you know, some of the breweries, or a lot of breweries recently have been telling us that too, which is...
It's a fact.
Yeah, it's just cool.
I mean, we're not going to Hop Dogma.
And I'm talking about like, there, just talking about like big names.
Not that I don't like Hop. Not that I don't like Hop Dogma. Yeah. We don't drink, but it still brings business to that whole. We always go to the surf shop and buy something from down there because I don't know.
Yeah.
On a burger, but you're bringing an audience there.
Yep. And like the staff at Bear Bottle was telling us that too. And that's a pretty big brewery. So
where's that?
Cool. San Francisco, Bernal Heights. They have a few locations, but.
Bear Brewery,
Bear Bottle Brewing.
Yeah, we'll give them a shout out. Yeah,
yeah. We only pop up at the Bernal Heights one,
or is that, I don't know where that is.
Yeah, it's Bernal Heights itself.
In down, is that downtown or South San Francisco?
No. So it's like, I don't know. Explain Bernal Heights.
I don't know.
I'm not a city guy, but I do pop up there. Usually, I use maps. So.
Well, I can tell you that the map says it's too far for us to go on a weekend with traffic. So we haven't done that, but I have seen you do a bunch in the city. Mainly you're stuck on the peninsula now, right? Are you doing East Bay?
I mainly come to, Pacifica a lot, Half Moon Bay.
Yeah. Pedro Point Brewery.
Yeah. Those two. I go to San Jose. We go to Capitola occasionally.
Sunnyville. You go to Capitola?
Yeah.
Wow.
We used to go to the East Bay more often, but we had two spots out there, but the same pizza guy took full residency at both spots. So we're not
the pizza pop-up guy.
Not Pizza Forever. Oh. Another guy, that I used to work with. He's a cool guy. And, he took full residency at the two East Bay spots that I had, which is crazy.
Wow. But, I mean, permanent.
Yeah, so he's at two locations. He's doing a really good job of, you know, having two teams, having full residency at these two locations.
With pop-ups or with
one's more of a pop-up and then the other one's literally it's a hole in the wall. It's a little room like a kitchen, but it's literally a hole in the wall. Like you could see.
Wow. Yeah. But you could do something like that too, couldn't you?
Yeah. I guess so.
I mean, if you positioned yourself next to something that didn't have food.
Yeah.
Do you have an email list? I'm not on it if you do.
No, I don't. I saw that question on the thing. I'm like, I don't know how to answer this.
Well, it's either yes or no. Do you worry that the social media platform could change and that you wouldn't have your audience?
I haven't worried about it at all, no. I don't know much about email lists at all, to be honest.
Did you know a lot about social media, or did you just like, hey, I'm going to post this thing on Instagram and people will share?
That's all I knew, you know?
Like, literally.
Yeah, literally. Like I said, we learned as we go. So we didn't really know anything. We just, you know, the main thing that we knew is that, you know, for years, like 10 plus years of food safety or food handling, that was like our main thing. So we knew how to, all the temperature control and what you're supposed to do. All that type of stuff. And then going in to like, serving, or we knew customer service too. Customer service, we knew like the good, food practices. We knew how to cook. And then, kind of learned everything else on the spot, you know, to get efficient, to, put our name out there, all that stuff.
Did you write any sort of business plan besides the list of things that you need to pick up?
Nope, that was it.
Did you price out your menu? Like, did you write, so you did do a business plan, like a financial, you wrote down hey, here's how much about it costs in my burger. How much is your burger?
11 for a single, 13 for a double. We just raised the price $1 a couple months ago.
Right.
So just because meat prices are skyrocketing.
Are they still?
Well, it's since the last time it's been the same. So we used to spend like $130 for a case, 60 pounds of ground beef. And now it's like $180 for a case.
Wow.
Which is
adds up.
Yeah, it adds up. But we still want to be in the realm of, you know, a good price. And for the most part, people have said that, you know, it's good value for what it is.
For the, whatever. What'd you say? It doubles. I don't even look at the price. $13. Yeah. It's a no brainer.
Yeah. So the fact is like,
it's fresh. You can't get that anywhere else.
So the thing is like, I want to, you know, if we're generous, most of the time, you know, the public's going to be there or just anybody's. So we're generous, you know, the next person's generous. And that's just how it's been for the most part.
Have you had any haters you had to deal with on social media? I haven't seen any ever.
Not really. I did just that one star review on Yelp.
What?
No, they haven't even tried this. So it's hard to put information on Yelp.
That Yelp thing's fake anyway, isn't it? Man. Because I heard people game it. It's been going on since it really started.
I don't know, but it's
hard. I don't even look at Yelp. Do people even look at Yelp anymore?
Yeah. I mean, me and my wife use Yelp too, just to kind of find places.
Okay.
If we're somewhere,
I look really at stars, but I think it's Google stars. But anyway. Yeah.
But, well, it's hard to get info on the Yelp. So I try to push the fact that, like, to find us, you need to go into the photo section because that's where we post the schedule. Because you can't just fill out a bio or a summary because they want you to pay for ads.
Of course.
And if the price was reasonable, then yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah, I would, but it doesn't seem that reasonable. I'm like, I'll just go to the photo section. And yeah, I guess one customer followed the map because, you know, you just put San Mateo, California. And then it takes you somewhere.
Like, uh-huh.
You can't change that unless you pay for ads and that type of stuff.
Oh.
But I guess someone drove out and took them to a residential and they were upset. So they looked at one star.
Because they were coming to your house?
Not my house. It's just on the map.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. They saw you review, but you're a pop-up, so you had probably your address.
No, it's so
it just said San Mateo.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't find your place.
Exactly.
And then they got disappointed.
Yeah, but I try to reach out, you know, like, oh, sorry that happened. I'm sorry to waste your time. Like,
yeah, it's funny.
We'll take care of you, this and that, but I never got a response. So
you can't please everybody all the time.
Things happen.
I was just curious. No, I've never seen you have any problem. All I see is people sharing your stuff, and it is absolutely Gil, the top 10 burger. And I appreciate you coming out this morning. I know you got is today Tuesday?
Yep.
Today's Tuesday. So you're prepping. What are the, but you're not done yet. If you were to leave people after all these things, lessons, from doing your job to quitting your job to starting a full-time business that's replaced your income and increased it.
Mm-hmm.
What are the three things that you would give? They can be anything, things we covered, things we didn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I would say like, don't rush. You know what I mean? Like when something happened, it happens. I think a lot of the time when the younger crowd, I want to say like 19 to 25, they're always thinking like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the next step is, this and that. And I think we all felt that around that time. But, you know, you just continue going. You keep trying what you need, trying till you feel comfortable or till you're happy. That's why I kept trying different jobs because I was like, all right, I don't want to be here. Let me try this out. I do like doing this, but then hours anymore. Then the next one is like, okay, I finally got like really great benefits and stuff, but it's a lot of labor. And I've always been prided myself on being a hard worker. But it's always been for someone else. So when that time came, it's like, I need to be a hard worker for myself and my family. So, but, figure out what you want to do and be patient. If you got an idea, roll with it, no matter what the cost is. Cause, you know, like I said, we started with barely anything, you know?
Zero to be exact, right?
We had to grow. We bought some bunch and stuff. We had an idea. We went with it. And then,
what would be number three?
Number three? I would say, I don't know. Probably planned better than I did.
but you didn't have any catastrophic events, did you?
As in what?
Well, I mean, you didn't lose $10,000 one weekend and you were catastrophic. I mean, the mistakes you made were small.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. So,
but if you plan better, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Plan better for the third one and maybe weigh or how should I say it? Take risk, but limit the risk. Like, know what you're risking. So, like you said, it was a small risk, but I slowly went into it. So I knew how small the risk was. So if I jumped into it right away, maybe it was a bigger risk, you know, but since I saw the outcome of like how things were working out, then the risk was pretty small. Just go for it.
I think it's great advice. Where can everybody find you?
Instagram. We post our monthly, at the beginning of the month. Weekly schedules go out every Monday or Tuesday. We're also on Yelp. It's a little harder to find us there, but always go to the photo section. That's where we post our monthly calendar.
I'll put everything in the show notes. Just for listeners, in case you don't pay attention, you can find Gil and Smashed Burger at SHMASHD
D underscore
on Instagram. We'll put that link in the show notes. Gil, thanks for coming out this morning. It's been fun.
Thanks for having me.
Bye, everyone.